In the sessions that follow, we'll be engaged in a very ambitious and extremely important undertaking. We'll be exploring a concept of human behavior, leadership, that is very misunderstood and often devalued in today's world. And we'll see why your own view of leadership may need to be reconsidered, reinvented, and reborn in order for you to achieve your personal and professional goals. In short, we'll learn why leadership mastery is so important. We'll see how leadership mastery is being put into practice in some of today's most successful organizations. And we'll show what you can do toward becoming a leadership master yourself, starting today. Once again, this is an extremely ambitious undertaking, but we have some powerful tools to bring it about. The foundation of our study of leadership mastery are the insights, writings, and personal example of Dale Carnegie, one of the most influential voices in the whole history of personal development, and a man whose lessons are more relevant today than ever before. We'll be looking at up-to-the-minute issues in today's fast-changing workplace. We'll meet the people, study the organizations, and identify the challenges that they're facing and that you're facing on the road to professional success and personal fulfillment. For example, the Levi Strauss Corporation has been in business for almost 150 years. Over those many decades, there have been plenty of peaks and valleys. There was the great San Francisco earthquake of 1906, which destroyed the company headquarters and several of its factories. Yet the company continued to pay its employees while new buildings were being built and extended credit to dozens of wholesale suppliers whose facilities had also been destroyed. Ethical leadership has always been a core value at Levi Strauss, whether the challenge was a major earthquake or competition from Calvin Klein. In keeping with a so-called aspiration statement that the company issued in 1987, managers at Levi Strauss know that they're evaluated in many other areas besides financial performance. As much as 40% of management bonuses are based on measures of leadership in ethics, human relations, and effective communication. More than 20 years before Levi Strauss created his aspiration statement, Thomas J. Watson, Jr., then the head of IBM, wrote a book called A Business and Its Beliefs. Watson knew that one of the most vital responsibilities as a leader was to clarify the core values of IBM. And those values made IBM one of America's truly dominant companies throughout the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Yet years before he wrote the book, Watson foresaw the problems that would almost cause IBM's downfall when the technological revolution dawned. 30 years before anyone had ever heard of Steve Jobs or Bill Gates, Watson told an interviewer, "I'm worried that IBM could become a big, inflexible organization that won't be able to change when the computer business goes through its next shift." In fact, that's exactly what happened after Watson's retirement. IBM did not fully recover until another leadership master, Lou Gerstner, became chairman and CEO in 1993. And we'll have much more to say about Gerstner in the sessions that follow. Levi Strauss and IBM are big corporations. So is Johnson & Johnson. But the leader of that company, Chairman and CEO Ralph Larson, has said, "We don't view ourselves as one $20 billion healthcare company. We see ourselves as 170 small ones." Putting into practice one of the basic principles of leadership mastery, Larson has a strong aversion to top-down edicts and directives. "We have a strong history of decentralization," he told an interviewer. "People are very independent at Johnson & Johnson. You have to convince them of the rightness of your cause. Otherwise, not much is going to happen." Larson might have added that once the rightness of the cause has been made clear, a lot happens. Year in and year out, Johnson & Johnson is one of America's most admired companies, as well as one of the most profitable. With the timeless lessons of Dale Carnegie's wisdom providing our strategy, and with tactics drawn from the example of today's leadership masters, we're ready to move ahead in our exploration of this vitally important subject. In just a moment, we'll get started. James Gleick, the science writer whose first book introduced readers to the wonders of chaos theory, recently published a new volume entitled Faster. Gleick discusses the seemingly unstoppable acceleration of all aspects of our lives, from the introduction of email and cell phones to the raising of the speed limits on interstate highways. We have the tools to accomplish things very quickly these days, and we've come to expect almost instantaneous results. But as we make our way at lightning speed through our new environment, we must realize that our approaches, our ideas, and even our vocabulary must also be new. The word leader, for example, can no longer bear any resemblance to the word boss. Bosses have subordinates or subjects or followers. Today's true leaders have no followers in the conventional sense of the word. And leadership masters even go a step further by transforming followers into other leaders. For a true leadership master, this process includes not just everyone in an organization, but literally everyone they meet. How does this happen? For starters, it requires personal qualities beyond traditional leadership virtues like toughness and decision-making ability, flexibility, innovation, and the ability to accommodate sudden change are now absolutely essential. The image of the leader as a lion tamer with a chair and a whip can no longer work for any extended period of time, if indeed it ever could. So the purpose of leadership mastery is not showing you how to order people around or to manipulate them with fear of failure or promise of rewards. Instead, we'll focus on giving people the tools to lead themselves in the direction of what they do best, not what someone in authority dictates.